John chapter 10, and we look at the first 10 verses. But verse 1 reads, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by me, by the door, is the shepherd of the sheep." Verses 1 and 2. Our theme this morning is the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. The man born blind and who now could see was cast out of the synagogue by the Pharisees. They cast him out because he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they weren't interested in him. They weren't interested in this man, the fact that he could see. It was of no account to them. The Lord Jesus, on the other hand, had not only healed him, but had sought him out and revealed himself to him as the light of the world. This leads naturally into a consideration which now Christ discourses upon as to who is the real shepherd of the sheep. Who is the good shepherd? Was it really the Pharisees who fulfilled Psalm 23 and were Christ-like, were God-like in their approach to the people? Were they under-shepherds of the flock of God because they were like him in his care for his people? The fact is that the true shepherd, compared to the Pharisees, was exemplified in Christ, in the Lord Jesus himself. And so by verse 10, he alone is in view. But prior to that, in verse 2, we are given the description of the shepherd of the sheep in general, and then more specifically, that he exemplifies the shepherd of the sheep. So verse 2, "But he that entereth in the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Literally it is, he is shepherd of the sheep. He's the real thing if he enters in by the door. Now the Lord Jesus himself is the door. But to be a faithful, true under-shepherd of the flock of Christ, then we must be Christ-like, but we must first of all enter in by the door. So there is Christ, the chief shepherd, and then below him there are true shepherds who, albeit imperfectly, are patterned after him. This verse, of course, has a place of fame in church history. The Alexander Henderson, who was one of the Westminster Assembly Scottish commissioners, was an unconverted man when he entered the ministry, and he was very strongly in favour of episcopacy in Scotland. And then in 1615, when he was to be presented to the charge in Lucas against the wishes of the people, Lucas near St. Andrews in Scotland, he ended up with the presbytery having to climb in a window because the people were so against and opposed to his being the minister of that place. And he had to climb in a window because the people had locked the doors and closed and fastened them very tightly. But secretly, he went to hear Robert Bruce preach. And this was his text, verse 1. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." And he realized that applied to him, that he himself had never gone through the door the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was the means the Lord used to convert this man and to become ultimately one of the great figures in the Church of Jesus Christ. But to be a true shepherd of the Church of Christ, of the flock of Christ, one must know the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this passage is dealing with the characteristics of the true shepherd in general, but then shows that the Lord Jesus Christ, above all, is the great shepherd of the sheep. Now the concept of the Lord as the shepherd of the sheep is not new in the New Testament. It is found in the Old Testament, for example, in the book of Psalms. We were singing of it earlier in Psalm 79, for example, in verse 13. Psalm 79 and verse 13. So we, thy people and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Then in Psalm 80, verse 1, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Or in Psalm 95 and verse 7. Psalm 95, verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. And Psalm 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 119 and verse 176. Psalm 119, verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. And of course, we all know Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. So the idea of the Lord being the shepherd of his people is not new. And the warnings are against false shepherds. Jeremiah 23, verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Zechariah 13. Zechariah 13 and verse 7. Zechariah 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. Here is a time coming when the Messiah will be the shepherd. So there are warnings against false shepherds, but God, the shepherd of Israel, has appointed his Christ to be the chief shepherd of the sheep. And there is need for a faithful shepherd. Faithful shepherds underneath, as under shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah 10 and verse 2. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. But the time would come when the Messiah would appear as the shepherd of Israel. So the God of heaven has appointed the Lord Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd to care for his people. And under Christ there are under shepherds who are called to be like him. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we read from the beginning, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So God has appointed the Lord Jesus Christ particularly to be the shepherd of the sheep, and the under-shepherds are to be Christ-like in all that they do with the flock of God. The Apostle Paul's letters show us what is expected of under-shepherds, of those who are ministers of the word and those who are ruling elders, that that word tend the flock of God. It's literally shepherd the flock of God. And so in this passage, Christ describes the true shepherd of the sheep, in so that showing who are the true shepherds, and then he himself is the true shepherd of Israel. But Christ is also the door. What we have here in John chapter 10 is an allegory, and we need to try and fit everything together, every detail. What is meant is the main point, that Christ is not only the exemplar of all shepherding of the sheep, but he is the door by which the true shepherds enter. So first of all then, the false shepherds, they had not entered by the door. In other words, they were not Christians. They did not trust in the Saviour. Verse 1 tells us, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Verse 7, "Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." So to be a true shepherd of Christ's people, they must believe on him who is the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he describes the false shepherds as those who did not come legitimately into possession of the flock. They came some other way. They did not believe on him. They did not come to him that they might have life. The Apostle Paul says of them, "For I bear them record, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And such was the Pharisees. They claimed to be the shepherds of a flock, but they hadn't come into possession of a flock legitimately through going through the door, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, when he came unto his own received him not. They hated him. They wanted to preserve their own imaginary righteousness rather than trust in the Saviour. And therefore they were illegitimate in their claim to be shepherds of the sheep. They rejected the headstone of the corner. They were men who would not come to Christ without money and without price, but they sought to get in some other way. Like a stone wall enclosure in a field, They tried to climb the wall instead of going in the door. They taught a false gospel. The apostle in Galatians 1, 6 to 8 says, there be some that pervert the gospel of Christ. They teach another gospel, which is not another. There is only one true gospel. But you see, if men preach a false gospel, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. They lead men to hell because they teach that salvation can be found elsewhere. Its adherents remain as guilty as at the beginning. More so, more hardened than ever. Their motive was evil. Verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Their motive was not honouring to God. They despised the gospel of his Son. They had their reasons, and they pretended to be overseers of the flock of God. They were annoyed at people, like this man born blind. They didn't care that he could now see. The important thing was that he trusted this Messiah, this claimant, the Lord Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. He trusted him instead of relying on us as the shepherds of Israel. What annoyed them was that Christ was saying, you can't save yourself. Only I can save you. That's what annoyed them. You remember the elder brother in the parable of the prodigal son? Remember how annoyed he was? The idea of free grace, undeserved kindness. Well, they were like that. They were annoyed at the idea of being saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does it annoy you? Does it annoy you that Christians claim to be saved by grace and not of debt? That they can't, they say openly that they can't earn salvation. Does that annoy you? Because it annoyed these people. Such false teachers are not a thing just of the past. They exist today. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That was true then, and it's true now. There are false teachers. There are men who claim to be ministers of the gospel, who are no such thing, who teach people false doctrine, a false gospel. We should not be surprised that such people exist, because the Bible clearly tells us that they shall. Paul said to the Ephesian elders, even from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things that they ought not, to draw disciples after them. So we should not be surprised. And if people say to us, well, so-and-so doesn't believe what you believe, we shouldn't be surprised at that. Paul's letters are so often warning against error, warning against false teachers. Why did he write Galatians? Why did he write Corinthians? It was because of the danger, or Colossians for that matter, it was because of the danger that they would be led astray by false teachers. The interchurch movement, the reading of the Quran in a professedly Christian church, so-called Christian leaders joining with Muslims and Roman Catholics and Hindus, every such gathering is a denial that Christ is the door. But then secondly, the true shepherd. He comes in by the door. Verse 2 of the passage, John chapter 10. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He comes in by the door. He comes as a believer and a servant of Jesus Christ. And he comes to the sheep that way, as one who himself has given up all hope in himself, but in Christ. As a sinner saved by grace, he comes to the sheep as their shepherd. And he causes Christ's voice to be heard. Verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep recognize the voice of those who hear, the voice who cause the voice of Christ to be heard, who expound his word. They know the difference. Some people who aren't even Christians know the difference, but you should know the difference. If you claim the name of Christ, you should know the difference between those who declare what Christ has said and those who do not. They preach the gospel. If they're elders, they make sure that the gospel is preached. But whether they preach it themselves or they ensure that others preach it, they ensure that the gospel is preached. The true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have the true welfare of the sheep at heart. Verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. He leads them. In the east, the shepherd goes ahead of the sheep, and they lead them into the truths of God's word. They don't follow cunningly devised fables, and they don't waste the time of the people with those cunningly devised fables. They expound the scriptures. He leads the sheep into what is good. Now, it's an allegory because we don't need to make everything fit. That's the beauty of an allegory, that you don't make everything fit. You don't have to find a meaning for every detail. Who is the potter? We don't know. But the sheep hear the voice of the good shepherd. They recognize when they are being taught the truth. In the East, apparently a shepherd can call a name and a certain sheep responds, because they have an intense interest in the welfare of the sheep, and they lead them to good pastures. And this leading of the good shepherd is even applied to the fact that Christ himself, as the good shepherd, would ultimately lead people out of paganism from among the Gentiles. Verse 16, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Thirdly, Christ is the greatest shepherd. Christ is the greatest shepherd. Christ later on goes on to the fact that he owns the sheep, unlike the hired hand. He knows the sheep, unlike the stranger. He cares for the sheep, unlike the robber. But Christ did more than anyone else. David was a good shepherd of the sheep. You remember, he risked his life with the lion and with the bear. But our Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for his sheep, the people of God. He shall save his people from their sins. You see, Christ was the ultimate good shepherd. He not only cared for the sheep, he gave himself for the sheep to bestow upon them everlasting life. He bore their sin. He bore their guilt. I lay down my life for the sheep. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down. I have power to lay it down and to raise it up again. I lay down my life for the sheep. He was the good shepherd, supremely, in order to reconcile his people in their sins to the God of heaven. And that's why he proclaimed himself. He said, "I am the door. I am the good shepherd." Absolutely. Verse 7. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Verse 11, when we come to it, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He was definitely not just a good man. This we have seen many times, but for someone who is just a good man to say these things would have been awful, blasphemy. But he was much more than a good man. He was the divine redeemer. He was the second person of the Godhead. He was God become man, and was bearing the guilt of sin on behalf of his people. And for that reason, that reason alone, because of who he was and what he did, he can say, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved." I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. Those who were under shepherds, they said, "He must increase and I must decrease. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and we your servants for Jesus' sake." But he says, by me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The in and out and find pasture means that, leaving aside the allegory, he shall have the safety of in being inside the flock and inside the fold, and yet the nourishment of the grass outside. That's the idea. Safety and nourishment. What is being spoken of here is Christ the Saviour. That we must trust in him. We don't trust in outward things. We don't even trust in our church membership. But in Christ, the Saviour of sinners. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verily, verily, he's not even a spokesman of God. He's God manifest in the flesh and the Redeemer of sinners. But then fourthly, the sheep. How do we recognize the sheep? First of all, they hear the voice of Christ. They know the difference. The difference between the true gospel and the false. We're told there in verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The real sheep know the difference. The difference between the true shepherd and the false. They know the difference. They know the difference between Christ speaking in his gospel and men giving vent to their own ideas. They respond positively to Christ and to his under-shepherds declaring the truth, and negatively to a stranger. Well, do you know the difference? Do you care? Do you bother? Do you listen and know the difference between the true gospel and the false? Are you glad that there is only one door? Or do you wish that there were seven doors on, like in Baha'i religion or whatever? Do you wish there were many ways to God? Or are you content that there should be only one, that is Jesus Christ and him crucified? You see, this is the difference between the sheep of Christ and those who are pretending. Are we satisfied with the way that there is through Christ? Or would we rather have another way? Is the uniqueness of the gospel the joy and rejoicing of our hearts? We're glad in God's salvation, and we would not have it otherwise. Only in this way is God both just and the justifier of sinners. Only through Christ, only in him, is he a just God and a Saviour. All other religions, whether pseudo-Christian or false religion, teach another way of salvation. And the people of God will not listen to a stranger. The sheep, those who are genuinely born of the Spirit, they will not listen to a stranger. They will not listen to multi-faith. They will not listen to the ecumenical world. They will not listen when men tell them there are many ways to God, because they will not hear the voice of a stranger. But when Christ speaks in the gospel, then they listen. They are glad that it is so. The Lord Jesus Christ preached an exclusive message. He declared himself to be the only Savior of sinners. Are we happy with that? That he is the only Savior. Is that what we make our boast in? We don't just admit that it's true that he can save. We don't even just admit that it is the truth that he alone can save. But we're glad, we're content that it is so. If we are the real sheep of Christ, we will not listen to the voice of a stranger. We won't listen to the cacophony of voices in today's world telling us that we're old-fashioned and out of date and we should move on. We'll stay where we are. It's a matter of interest that verse 9 is the verse I was given when I was licensed to preach. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And you know, the gospel hasn't changed in that time. What was true then was true now, that there is only one Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you trust in him? Is there evidence that you are a real sheep and you will not hear the voice of strangers? You won't hear a false gospel. You have a holy intolerance of false religion claiming to be alongside the message of the gospel, or instead of. We don't want anything alongside, much less instead of. We're quite happy that this salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is none other name given among men from under heaven whereby we must be saved but that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if the world thinks we're dinosaurs. It doesn't matter if the world thinks we're narrow and extremist and bigoted and xenophobic and all the rest of it. It doesn't matter. For the Christian, there is great contentment that the true gospel is true, and we're glad that it is so, and that the Word of God tells us how to live our lives in it as individuals, in the home, in the church, in the workplace. We believe it all to be the Word of God. But most of all, that it tells us the only way to heaven, which is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we pray that thou would bless thy word to our hearts, that we might all love thy salvation, that we might all be found content, that there is a crucified Saviour and that we need none other. So bless thy word to us and forgive all our sins and receive us through him who is the way, the truth and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.